Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe," somebody say if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Man, I want to see the glory of God in my life and around my life. More than things, I want His glory to rest. The Old Testament calls it a Shekinah glory, a glory that settles, a glory that sits, a glory that does not dissipate or leave. So if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. This is talking about Lazarus. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off those grave clothes and let him go." KJV says, "Loose him and let him go." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm alive and I'm free." Now just shout it out, "I'm alive and I'm free." Now before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and tell them there is a difference in Jesus' name. There's a difference between being alive and being free. You may be seated today. Everybody in this room today, you and I were blessed that we woke up this morning. Well, we're blessed that we woke up this morning, praise God. We're blessed that we live in the United States of America. With all of her problems, she's still the best in the world. It's why we have an immigration problem, because there's not a whole lot of people fighting to get out. Everybody's fighting to get in. You woke up in the great Republic of Texas this morning. You woke up and decided, "I'm going to go to the most alive and spirit-filled church in all of San Antonio this morning." You're sitting on the best-looking row this morning. And I'm just glad that I didn't wake up in a 6-foot by 9-foot cell. I'm glad that no one's telling me what I can eat it and when I can eat it. What I can eat and when I can eat it. I'm glad that I'm not treated as an adult like I'm still in kindergarten. I've got recess time or yard time. I'm equating who we are and how we are compared to those that woke up in a jail cell or a prison cell today, because they are alive, they're just not free. And I'm glad that I'm alive, but oh, I'm shouting that I'm free. I'm glad that I woke up with breath going through my lungs and my heart is beating today, but I am so glad that I am not bound by the addictions of yesterday and yesteryear. I'm glad that who stands before you today is very different than the man that stood here 15 years ago, 15 weeks ago, I am a better version, and I hope you are a better version of who God is, or who you are and who God has called you to be compared to who you were. But I want to encourage you, there is a difference between being alive and being free. There's so many people that are alive, but they are just not free. And you know what's worse than a physical jail cell is a spiritual jail cell. Walking freely, having all of the potential, all of the probability that it could happen, it might happen, it should happen, yet we are walking around like it is not available or has not happened. I struggled with this title, The Walking Dead, Alive and Free, whether it was going to be The Walking Dead or Dead Man Walking. And I took it to a poll to some of the staff, and they agreed on The Walking Dead when they heard where we were going. But I want to just encourage you just a little bit where we're going to be heading these next 4 Sundays. We're going to talk about living like the undead. Anybody ever hear the phrase the undead? Some of y'all are acting like you've never watched The Walking Dead before. It's been on for 13 years. I've never watched more than 1 minute of it. It seems like it's a bit just repeat all the time. And what's scarier than The Walking Dead on TV is The Walking Dead in reality. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about the recipe for resurrection. Because this Lazarus story, when we talk about resurrection many times, we love to talk about it in March and April leading up to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the most important resurrection. But the Bible does say that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within us. So that means you have and I have the potential for resurrection at any point, at any day, at any moment. That should excite you. That means on Monday, you have resurrection power in you. That means on Wednesday, you have resurrection power in you. Resurrection power does not stop at the frontage row when you leave here. Resurrection power is just as powerful at home, on your job, at your school, as it is here in this altar. So we're going to talk about the recipe for resurrection. We're going to talk about now faith. Faith in the moment that you live in right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday. And then we'll end with alive but not free. The Walking Dead is a popular TV show that depicts our world in a post-apocalyptic time where zombies have taken over and are trying to take out the rest of the world. I have not seen more than 2 minutes, like I said, of this show. I have watched zombie movies, though, and so it is just that repeat and recycle of the zombies, those that have been affected, are now trying to affect the rest of the world. Can I just put this as an earmark to where we're going to go in some of this series? We should take a note out of the zombies book, and we have been infected, but it's not with something that kills us. It's something that makes us alive. That we have the Holy Ghost, not bitten, but we have the Holy Ghost in us. And now our goal is that everybody that we meet, everybody that is exposed to us, should have, receive, and become Spirit-filled believers, followers, and disciples of Jesus Christ. While the rest of the world waits for zombies, the church has been dealing with the walking dead for quite a while. Disciples by label, but not by lifestyle. Alive but not liberated. You know, during times of war, before technology advanced, there was wars that had already ended where people that were out on the front lines and in different parts of the world and countries, they were notified years later that the war they were still fighting was over. I've come to encourage somebody today that there's some battles we are fighting that have already been won. There's some wars that we are waging that God is saying, wait a minute, I already settled that 2,000 years ago. That is not something you've got to fight. That's why we always talk about, I'm not fighting for faith, I'm fighting from faith. I'm not fighting for healing, I'm fighting from healing. Let me say that again. Some of us are in the middle of battles that have already been won, and I've come to remind you that the Word of God has already said that we are, Romans 8, more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. You're not fighting for something. You are fighting from something. My healing battle has already been won. I am fighting from a place of faith that what God has already won is going to be established in my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's already done. So disciple by label, but not by lifestyle. Alive, but not liberated. If you are alive, you need to be liberated. There should not be any physical thing, physical substance. There should not be anyone on this earth that has the impact in your life that keeps you bound. Because when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he die so that you and I could go to heaven, not only did he bleed and take lashes on his back so that you and I could be healed, he resurrected with, listen, the keys to death, hell, and the grave, because he said, I not only want you saved, I want you liberated, I want you delivered, I want you set free in Jesus' name. Some of us are Christian by name, but we're not truly converted. Transformed talk, but conformed walk. It's the walking dead. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Shared this with the staff earlier this morning. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. This is Paul talking to believers in the church at Ephesus, and this is what he said. He said, remember, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. Before you said yes, before I said yes to Jesus Christ, we were dead men and women walking. I don't care what you had going on before Jesus, you were a dead person walking. I don't care how much money you had, you were a dead person walking. I don't care how much good you did, you were a dead person walking. And Paul is reminding believers, he said, don't you remember that when God found you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You know, one of the scariest things that I think about all the time is if I get to heaven and God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but you left a lot on the table. You left a lot of things I was calling you to do undone. You left a lot of things that I wanted to bring into your life. You never stepped fully into them, meaning that, listen, you lived, but you didn't live to the fullest. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time. He said, you used to be like them. You used to have breath in your lungs, but in God's eyes, you were dead. Dead in sin. Sin draped over us. Transgressions like chains that bound us, that tied us down. But here Paul is encouraging them, and I'm encouraging those in the room and those watching online today, that thanks be to God, I'm not dead in sin anymore, that you are not dead in sin anymore, that because of Jesus Christ, our transgressions of 10 years ago, our mistakes of 30 years ago, our sin of 2 months ago, it is under the blood, and I'm no longer like them. Said all of us live like them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, almost like we're talking about that fruit series again, fruits of the flesh, following its desires, following its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Remember this, that when the world got crazy in the Old Testament, God just started over. Let me say this again. In the Old Testament, when the world got crazy, God started over. In the New Testament, because of Jesus, God doesn't say, I'm going to start over. I'm going to allow you to start over. Oh, that's good. I'm glad that God, when I make a mistake, he doesn't just put his thumb on my head and say, well, you made a mistake, you're done. What he says is, hey, you made a mistake, all have fallen short of the glorious idea of Christ. But listen, there is a way. It's called grace. It's called mercy. And I'm glad when I make a mistake that God doesn't wipe me away and say, all right, next up, who's next? He doesn't say, I'm not starting over. There is no more flood. There is no Sodom and Gomorrah where I'm going to rain down brimstone and fire. But this time, I'm going to give you a chance to start again. I'm not starting over. I'm going to make a way for you to start over. And I'm so grateful to Jesus for second chances. But if I'm honest, I'm grateful to Jesus for fifth chances. I'm grateful for Jesus for 21st chances. Let's be honest. I'm grateful. I've been living for God for 22 years. I'm grateful for God for the 235th chance. That when I don't get things right, that I've got a way, and I've got a advocate named Jesus who has made a way. Said, like the rest of us by nature, deserving of God's wrath, but because of God's great love for us. God loved you to life. God loved you to life. Sister Tammy, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, but we email quite often, and we message back and forth about the pastoral team, about things going on in the church and families that need prayer, need assistance. And you know what she always ends those messages with? She said, I love you to life, little brother. I love you to life. You have people that love you to death. You don't want them. You want somebody to love you to life. And God loved us to life through Jesus Christ. So if God did all he could do through his son, sending him to this earth to die for us, and he died in our place, the least we can do is live for him. That's why when things go crazy in your life, don't go crazy and don't match that crazy energy of life, but you can say, you know what, God, you called me to this time, you called me to this season, and I know it's going to work out for my good. And God, if you went to the cross for me, I can live boldly for you here today. And I'm not going to let one deal, I'm not going to let one encounter, I'm not going to let one piece of bad news, I'm not going to let it take me out, God. I'm going to live the life. I'm not going to be a dead man walking or the walking dead. I'm gonna be loved to life because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy. I love the mercy of God. We don't receive what we deserve. Made us alive with Christ. I am big on energy. I am big on environment, on atmosphere. This generation calls it the vibe of the room, the vibe of this. I'm big on that, but we've used it so much that we have dumbed down and we've grown cold to those definitions and those words. But listen, I don't want you to match my energy. And see, that's what we teach. That listen, when you bring a vibe, a certain personality in the room, if somebody's energetic, they lift the energy of the whole room. But this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that we were made alive with Christ. I'm not trying to match your energy. I'm doing my best to match his energy. I'm not trying to match your love. I'm matching his love. I'm not trying to match your hope. I'm matching his hope. That's why Paul would say things like this: follow me as I follow Christ. He said, the moment I quit following Christ, don't follow me. Why? Because the only reason I am who I am, the only reason I'm going the direction I'm going, the only reason I have what I have is because I'm following him. And if you're following me, following him, make sure you're looking over my shoulder. So if he keeps going and I take a left, you don't take a left with me. You're not matching my energy. You are in step for step, stride for stride, love for love, faith for faith with Jesus. Which is how we do move from faith to faith, from victory to victory. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Made us alive even when we were dead in transgressions. Here is the thing. The only excuse you have to be dead is when you're bound in sin and transgression. That's why I don't like dead churches, because you're acting like you used to be. I expect depression from people that don't know Jesus, the great hope. I expect suicidal thoughts from people who don't have the Holy Spirit moving in them. I expect negativity and fearful talk and doubt and worry. I expect that from people that do not have a relationship with Jesus. But you and I in this room and watching online, most of us have a strong relationship with Jesus. And so death and acting dead and walking dead and being dead, that is no longer an option for us. Why? Because if you're dead in life right now, chances are it's because of something you've got going on, and you need to be reminded Jesus came so that you might have life and life in abundance. And that life in abundance is not just good stuff, more stuff, and better stuff. Abundant life should be visible. That I'm different. You're different than the world that we live in. It is by grace that you are saved. Three things that Paul reminds this church in Ephesus about. He said, let me remind you where you came from. Let me remind you how you used to be before Jesus. But let me remind you of God's great love, of God's great mercy, and of God's great grace. God's love, perfect love, cast out all fear. Greater love hath this than no man, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, which is what Jesus did. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, meaning God gives me things that I don't even deserve, but he does so because why? He loves us. And mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. Why? Because he loves us. I'm a guilty father in 18 years of giving my kids things they don't deserve. Not because they did the best that they'd ever done, but because I love them. And God's the same way. He loves you. And so grace is always sufficient. You've always got enough. And mercy is fresh always, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and his love for us. I've come this morning to encourage somebody to stir up the gift. To act alive, to talk loud, to be loud about Jesus, to walk and have a visible faith. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Can I encourage you, church? The so of the redeemed, the loud declaration and proclamation of the church saying, I am the redeemed. Ooh, I love it on Sunday morning. But you know where we really need to be shouting that so? You know who we really need to be telling, listen, I am part of the redeemed. It's outside of this church. And I'm not talking about getting preachy with it. I'm talking about living our life with it. When people see us, they know that there's something different about us, that we don't talk like other people talk. We don't walk like other people talk. We don't react like other people react. Why? Because we've got a Jesus on the inside. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're a part of the redeemed, I want you to make a little noise and let's practice a little this morning. We are on the side of God and He is in us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not just on, it doesn't say let us do it in the church. It just says we ought to do it numerous times a day. Let the redeemed say so. I am redeemed. Well, what does that mean? Ooh, I was lost. I was dead in my sin. I was a dead man walking. I was a zombie on this earth. And then Jesus got a hold of me, and the life He came to give was infused into me, and it changed my life. Our relationship with Jesus should be seen. It should be heard. It should be felt. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were arrested today for being a Christian and we looked at your computer search history, what would we find? Pornography sites? Or what is the meaning of this Greek word in Hebrews chapter 10? What would we find on your nightstand? Would we find a Bible, notebook, or would we find 6 different remotes? And you've got time for Hulu, Netflix, the Peacock, Paramount, HBO Max, Showtime Plus. I don't even know if that's one. But we got all of those, and yet we always say, I can never find time to get in my word. If you and I were arrested for being a Christian and we got to the courtroom, would they say case dismissed after further deduction? They don't have, there is no way that we can say they're Christian because they never talk to God. They don't worship God. They barely go to church. See, I don't want to be a walking dead. I want to be so alive that people hear it, people see it, people feel it. I'm closing with this. In this room today, there are people that have had this phrase said to you. There's something different about you. There's something that when you walk into a room, the room shifts and it changes. There's something different about you that when you talk, people listen, but man, your words carry weight. They carry value. What they're hearing is not you. It's the Jesus in you. What they see is not you. It's the Jesus in you. What they feel is not you. It is the Jesus in you. And so our relationship with Jesus should be seen, heard, felt. It should be experienced. It should be tangible. And it should be evident to strangers. If I were to walk down to Lock and Terror, if I drive to Lock and Terror, let me put that, and then I walk in Lock and Terror, I can tell without even the Holy Spirit's discernment, I can tell who's struggling by body language. The look, the countenance on their face. Then when the Holy Spirit starts moving, I can tell what kind of spirit they're dealing with. You say, well, that's because you're a pastor. No, that's because I'm a believer. And the Spirit does it so that we can minister effectively to them. But if we can see that physically on that side of the coin, then we should be, when we walk through Lock and Terror, for someone to say, that's a believer. I can tell by the way, man, look at the confidence that they have. Look at that joy that they exhibit. Look at that, man, look at the way it should be visible. And it should be audible. And it should be when you walk. You should be the pastor at your job. They might never come here, but when they need prayer, they're coming to your office. When they need an encouraging word, they're coming to your floor. They're coming to your space. They're coming to where you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, you yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. King James says you're a living epistle. You're a book that everyone reads. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2, this is not my notes. Habakkuk 2, we always talk about write the vision, make it plain. But the Bible says write it on tablets and hang them on yourselves. Write the vision. Write what God is speaking to you. Write what God is doing in you. Write it in such a way so that people that are around you, as they run, as you run, they can read what God is saying and what God is doing. I say this with all love, but with very much boldness. If you are close to people and they don't know you're a Christian, that's a problem. If you go to work and they don't know you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a problem. If you still have family members that are unaware of the change in your life the last 18 months, 3 years, 5 years, because you tone it down. Listen, why do we tone down Jesus, but we don't tone down our political ideas and our political thoughts? Why do we tone down Jesus, but we don't tone down what we think about the sports situation over here and what we think about the financial crisis over here? Let me tell you, tone everything else down and turn up Jesus. Everybody that meets you, not just the people closest to you, but anyone that meets you should know, man, I'm alive in Christ. Too many people, if you're writing notes, write this down. Too many people are alive in Christ, but they're not living for him. They're alive. So explain that. Because of Christ we live, that's redemption. But we're not living for Christ. I don't want to be guilty of being alive, but really being dead. In the zombie genre, they call zombies the undead. Not really dead, but not really alive. This is how many believers could be defined. They're not dead, but man, they're not alive. They're somewhere in the middle of that spectrum. They're not dead in their transgressions, but that Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that now says that now is available to dwell in us, I don't think they're there yet. They're somewhere in the middle. I'm here to tell you, get out of the middle. The middle is where you get messed up. Jesus said this. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spew you. One translation says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It makes me sick when you will not choose a side. Say, what does lukewarm look like? Dead men walking. The walking dead. I have just enough Jesus to make me feel good, but I don't take him anywhere else. I celebrate him on Sunday. I hide him Monday through Friday. I talk about him to my other Christian friends in whispers, but I never talk about it because I don't know where other people stand. Listen, I know where other people stand. If they don't like you talking about Jesus, they're the ones that need to hear Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, they need to hear Jesus. How will they hear without a preacher? Preachers don't just work on Sunday mornings. You are a preacher. I am a preacher. My greatest sermons are not Sundays from 11:45 to 12:15. My greatest sermons are every day of my life at the feed store, at the drug store, at the gas station, wherever I am. Stand on your feet. I wanted to get to this great part in this, but we'll wait till next Sunday. But I want to talk to those that are undead. Those that are saved, praise God, I'm so glad you know Jesus. But we need you to act like it. That's why I love, and I'm a big deal. Like, you'll see me in the middle of service. Hey, will you come sit on the front row? Hey, will you come sit close to me? Hey, will you feel, because I want these front rows filled with amen, that's right. Sister Reba helps me preach every service. Sister Tammy, Brother Kevin helps me preach. I watch back videos and I can hear Brother Kevin. I can hear him amening me and amen, that's right. And oh man, that's a good one. And why? Because, listen, we're so alive we can't shut up about it. Can't shut up about it. You'd be shocked at the conversations of my family. And Tyler can tell you, Jaden can tell you, Mandy can tell you, Alyssa can now tell you, my parents would tell you. 90% of our conversation is about church and ministry. Jesus, Word, whatever. We don't talk a lot about everything else. It's eaten us up. I'm not saying we don't have those moments where we'll talk about the Cowboys. We'll talk about, but we talk about Jesus. Why? Because we're alive in that. It's not something we step in and out of. When you walk out of this building today, you're alive. You're alive because God is not through with you yet. If you've said yes to Jesus, you're alive because of the redemption power of Jesus Christ that makes us alive. But my question is, are you free? Are you living?